To join in on the conversation with Ted, call 1-970-587-5171. Or in the Denver metropolitan area, it's 1-303-654-9924. And now, here's Ted.
And good day to all you beautiful people across this great land of ours, the United States of America, to our friends up north in Canada and Mexico, down south, Central South America, Africa, Europe, and Asia. And welcome to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. We have another day with Chip Tatum. He's a regular standby now. I think we're going to call this the Tatum Gunderson Show one of these days, Chip. And Chip is telling all. He's a CIA, ex-CIA, undercover, covert operator, 25 years. But before we get into Chip's story on this second hour, let me remind you that I said every hour on the hour until June the 9th, I'm going to talk about the American Heritage River Initiative. Okay? You recall that I mentioned on the previous show the purpose of the initiative is to designate 10 chosen rivers by the fall of 1997. 10 more will be chosen the following year, so on and so forth. And this is another attempt to take over land, as far as I'm concerned, and we will have some experts on this show later on in this month to further discuss this land grab, land takeover by the Clinton administration, giving you details and documentation. But this particular situation, the American Heritage River Initiative, there is a waiting period or a comment period up until June the 9th. After June the 9th, they're going to take action eventually, but the only time that we're allowed to talk about it publicly or to make an issue out of this will be between now and June the 9th. And, of course, this is a two-week period. It's not long enough. So we are going to tell you that you have to write to the Executive Office of the President, Kathleen McGinty, McGinty, Council on Environmental Quality, Washington, D.C., 20503. Phone Karen Hobbs, H-O-B-B-S, 202-395-5750. Fax Kathleen McGinty, 202-456-2710, and ask that the comment period be extended to 90 days, not 2 weeks, another railroad job by the Clinton administration, to request written material regarding the American Heritage River Initiative. 3, read it when you receive it. 4, proceed, exercise your rights as citizens of the United States to express your voice in the affairs of this country, or forever be quiet. If your complaints about what the government is doing, do not agree or consent quietly or without protest. We have to get to the bottom of these problems. These people are sneaking these bills through, these treaties, and these matters at our expense. And they're taking our land away from us. They're taking our children away from us. Act now, folks. Please, please, please call, write, fax, email your state senators, congressmen and senators, and request them to seek an extension of the comment period for the Federal Registry Notice. They're doing this through the Federal Registry Notice, another guys like executive orders. Okay, Chip, back to you. How are you doing again on the second hour, Chip?
Doing fine, Ted. Thank you.
Good. Listen, Chip, I'd like to talk a little bit about Bill Colby, Chip. There's a fellow named Gordon Novell that's been on the American Freedom Network on a number of occasions, claimed to have had personal conversations with Colby. I know we talked about this on one of the earlier shows. Is there anything more you can fill us in on? You know Gordon Novell, first of all.
I don't know Gordon Novell, Ted. I was... As a matter of fact, during Bill Colby's death, during that time period, I was in federal prison, so I don't know a lot about his death. I know that a few weeks prior to his death, I had written him a letter and asked him if he would write the foreword to the book that I had finally started writing, which is Operation Red Rock. Unfortunately, things didn't work out.
Did you ever hear back from him?
I didn't.
So you don't have anything more to add to the show today than what you gave to us previously?
Nothing other than an opinion. My opinion is he was assassinated.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. He always put the flag up when he went out in the water. The Mariner's flag, it was down. The computer was on. A half meal was on the table. He's a very fastidious person, according to John DeCamp, who was a very close friend of his. And he would not have gotten up, walked out, left the computer on, left the meal on the table, and gone out in that water. Also, he was very careful about not going out in the water when the water was rough, and the water was rough on that particular occasion. Everything points to an assassination.
I agree with that. That, you know, the thing about assassinations and about crossing people the wrong way in the business that we're in, it never has to be done immediately. Rarely does it have to be done immediately, especially if it's in retaliation for something. Time does things that make people get a little bit off of their norm, and it makes it a lot easier to do the deed. So, understanding that one day, for the deeds that were done, especially if he crossed any foreign intelligence entities, he may have to pay for that, and I believe that that's what happened.
Well, he was 3 months away, I understand, from having been out of the CIA for 25 years, and correct me if I'm wrong, but after you've been out of the CIA for 25 years, you don't, do not have to run your any of your writings past the agency, is that right, Chip?
Well, and depending on what you write, you may have to, yes. It just depends on what it includes.
Mm-hmm. But he was also in the process of writing a book. Are you aware of that?
I am aware of that, yes. And I think that he wouldn't have undertaken a task of writing a book about how nice it was in the CIA. I think he had some things to say.
I definitely think he had some things to say. Everybody that I've talked to that knew him has spoken very highly of him.
Very good man.
Yes, I understand that. Folks, I want to mention, we just have a few seconds before we go into a break, that these tapes, we are on a second series of tapes with Chip Tatum. These tapes are available, 6 shows. For $49.95, get your order in early. $49.95 for 6 shows on the second series. Transcript from the first 6 series of tapes is available for $29.95. Call 800-205-6245. Be right back, folks. Wake up, America. Wake up. And we are back, and my guest today is Gene Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA black ops operator. And we have Kevin on the line from North Carolina. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Ted. Great show, and Chip, you're very courageous.
Thanks, Kevin.
Listen, the Prime Minister, was it of Sweden or Norway that was assassinated?
That's Sweden.
Okay. Now, the guy that shot him, didn't they put him on, supposedly shot him, his name was Gunnarsson, they put him on trial.
Another Gunnarsson?
No, Gunnarsson.
I
was one of my cousins. If it was my cousin, I'd just take him out behind the shed just with his fanny, I'll tell you right now.
Well, they tried this guy named Gunnarsson, and he got off. And he moved to a small town in North Carolina called Salisbury. And they found his body up in the mountains naked, murdered.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
When did that happen, Kevin?
I'm thinking 4 or 5 years ago. The guy that supposedly killed him and is in jail right now is a ex-police officer by the name of Underwood.
Kevin, do you have newspaper articles or anything, any clippings on it?
I do not. It's in the Salisbury Post. The stories were in the Salisbury Post. I can do some digging.
Would you do that? I'd like to see that and furnish that to me, and I'll furnish it on over to Chip Tatum also.
All right, I'll see if I can dig that
I find
up.
That very interesting that he would be murdered, and he was murdered by a police officer or ex-police officer?
Ex-police officer. This guy murdered him and his girlfriend's mother, and he's in jail, I think, up in Boone, North Carolina.
Very interesting. You have another interesting case out of North Carolina, the Jeffrey McDonald case.
Yes, he's innocent also.
Absolutely innocent.
Chip, the guy, who was the senator or the congressman that tipped off the Cubans in Grenada?
You know, I don't know. And that's why it's not on my webpage. And the purpose of putting that on the webpage is to put it out there so that I can find out what his name was. We were debriefed that it was done at a debriefing and on board the ship. And because we questioned what the hell went on here. Why did this happen to us? How come we didn't have the cover of darkness? How come we didn't have the element of surprise? They were waiting for us. And that's when we were told a congressman had tipped them off.
Didn't the officer that wrote the book called Seals also make a comment about that in his book?
He may have. You're talking about
can't remember
Dick
name.
Marcinko?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that, and this is the only thing that you'll ever hear me say in behalf of Ollie North. When Ollie North went before Congress and told them that and lied to them and that would not tell them the truth about certain things, it's because Congress can't keep a secret. I agree with him not talking about some things in front of Congress because sometimes it's more dangerous to put the information out there than it is not to say anything.
Right, right. Well, keep up the good work.
Thanks.
And,
thanks a lot, Kevin.
You're welcome.
And let's talk about Grenada for a minute there. Tell us about the Grenada invasion.
Well, the Grenada invasion took place, what was it, October 1983. We were put out. I was with Task Force 160, 160th Aviation at the time. We were put on ships. Part of our portion of the attack was to go into the airport at the southern end of the island, which was the Cuban stronghold. You know, as it was announced to Congress early in the wee hours of the morning by the president, as is required before we can, before we actually attack a sovereign nation, the president, by law, has to report this to Congress, that he is exercising his privilege under the War Powers Act in attacking. He did that. He advised Congress. There was either a single congressman or a group of congressmen who did not agree with this. They thought it was inhumane for us to attack this Cuban stronghold on the island of Grenada without warning the Cubans and giving them a chance to leave. We had talked to them on several occasions saying, shut it down, get out of there. I don't know what more needs to be said. As the Night Stalkers, 160th, we had two things going for us. We're flying slow helicopters laden with munitions and with special operations troops on board. We were flying. The only thing we had going for us was our training under night vision, coming in at pre-dawn hours, and the element of surprise. Well, the president, when he found out that it had been compromised because a congressman had, through a third world country, notified the Cuban embassy that we were coming in, and what time, and where, our element of surprise was gone. The president, at that point, couldn't make the decision, didn't want to say, send them in, until it was too late. We had lost the element of darkness, so we couldn't go in under the cover of darkness. We had to go in at dawn. Just after dawn, the lights were there, the sun was coming up, and we could be seen. And instead of catching the Cubans still sleeping or unaware of us coming in, they were sitting at the runway with a ZSU, which is a Soviet-built anti-aircraft weapon, waiting for us. There was a good man, a Captain Clay, young man from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, wife and two kids, who was killed in that mission simply because the Cubans were waiting. That congressman killed Captain Clay. That congressman committed an act of espionage against the United States and should be tried.
We don't know who he is.
We don't know who he is.
Or,
but someone out there knows who it is. Maybe even John DeCamp knows.
Or possibly a group of congressmen, right?
That's right.
Well, don't you think Colby would have known who it was?
I don't think so. I think it was held very close with the good old boys network and certain, you know, the way they work it is, give us this bill or give us that bill, and we won't say anything.
Certainly, Bush would probably know who that congressman was.
Yeah, so there are people who know who those congressmen or who that congressman was, and he should be tried in a court of law.
Absolutely. How many boys? Well, let's hold our thoughts a minute, folks. Be right back. Time for a quick break. Wake up, America! Wake up!
Now, here's Ted.
And we're back, and my guest today is Gene Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, how many boys did we lose in Grenada?
I'm not sure how many were reported. I know of eight from Special Operations.
And what was the purpose of the Grenada invasion for those youngsters who are listening who were not around at that time?
The real purpose or the media purpose?
Both.
The media purpose was simply that we had a Cuban airport being built on a sovereign nation. The Cuban influence was taking over the island. We had a lot of American medical students on board the island, and it was time to liberate them and take care of the possible Cuban expansion into a sovereign nation. The actual reason for it was Task Force 160 had been training for a long, long time with our new equipment, never been able to use it. We'd been in place for about 3 to 4 years building the unit, and we needed a test platform. We just figured that would be the perfect test platform.
And let's see, that would have been Reagan would have been president at that time, right?
That's correct.
And how about the ultimate result of the invasion? What happened?
Well, we knew, at that point we knew how good our Black Hawk helicopters were with their silicone gears on board. You know, several of the aircraft had over 100 holes in them from the anti-aircraft fire that we received because they were waiting for us. You know, there's nothing worse in the world than to think you have at least the element of surprise in an aircraft flying about 190 to 100 knots because of your armament on board, which isn't very fast in a helicopter. You know, 10 to 50 feet off the ocean, depending on the swells. And we were monitoring the local radio station as our navigational fix, and the radio announcer came on, and here we're coming in with the element of surprise, the only thing we have on us in these low, slow helicopters. And the announcer says the invasion forces will be here in 5 minutes. Everyone take cover. That's a very sick feeling.
Oh, you heard that yourself?
We heard it over our AM radios. That's correct.
And
over our ADF.
It was too late to abort the invasion, right?
Well, we were on radio silence. We got to go. We were gone.
So you walked into a trap.
Walked right into it because of that congressman who didn't think it was humane for a Cuban soldier to lose his life. Yet it was much more humane for an American soldier to lose his life and for that young American child to never know what it's like to have a father.
Well, let's hope that somebody out there listening to this show will come forward with this information. Now, we know we're being monitored, you know.
We know.
By the way, do you have that recording with you?
I have it with me and ready whenever you want to do it.
Let's do it at the next break, right after the next break. So give your website out again, Chip.
Our website is the Black Ops Reporter. It's at http://members.aol.com/ChipTatum, all small. And Chip Tatum is spelled CHIPTATUM. So http://members.aol.com/ChipTatum.
And get your address out. How people can get a hold of your documentation that this man is for real, ladies and gentlemen.
Our documentation via the Tatum Chronicles is at 1-800-201-7892. The Nexus magazine carries the documentation. There's no doubt who I am. I'd like to know who you are. The Nexus can be ordered through 800-784-0745.
That's a great magazine. 800-784-what?
0745.
0745. I urge you folks to subscribe to that, folks.
It's a very good magazine. They bring some very good information forward.
I think that, the Spotlight, Media Bypass, and a few others, Perception, are the only ones that are really telling the American people what's going on in this country today.
And Nexus has to be published outside of the U.S. To bring the message that they do. And Duncan Rhodes, the editor of Nexus, has done a very fine job. He's very thorough with his investigations. As a matter of fact, the documents we had to provide, it took over 8 months to provide enough information for their legal staff to say, okay, let's go and let's see if somebody sues us for this. We'll take this to court in a heartbeat.
Chip, do you know anything about a gentleman named Bob White, who was a patriot, wrote a book, was assassinated down in Costa Rica, walking across the field with two other individuals? Do you know anything about him?
No, but I have a very good friend. When was that? When did that happen?
I don't know. I don't have the exact date. It would have been back in the 80s, I believe.
I had a very good friend, Robert White, who I flew with, I've lost track of him. I wonder if it's the same.
Oh, I'm wondering. Okay, hold on a minute, folks. Be right back. Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. Wake up, America!
In the Denver metropolitan area, 1-303-654-9924. And now, back to Ted.
And we're back. My guest is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. And people are complaining because, I guess somebody's complaining because I haven't given my phone number out lately. My phone number is 702-650-5676. 702-650-5676. I urge you folks out there to call that number and obtain a list of all of my research. I have books, reports, videos, audios, and this is, as in the case with Chip, this documents the information that I have developed myself over the last 17 years, plus a combination of research, or through a combination of research, plus on-the-street investigations. So call 702-650-5676 and ask for my flyer and get it, order the material and the research, and learn about it, make copies, pass it on. Okay, we have a caller, Dennis from Florida. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Ted.
How are you today?
Yes.
Where are you from in Florida?
Pretty good. Very nice.
Where are you from in Florida?
Right. Over near Sarasota.
Sarasota, okay.
I'm planning to be there in Orlando next week.
I'll see you then.
Hope to, and even if I'm not a vendor, I hope to be there.
Okay.
Hope to be a vendor, though.
Well, I'm going to participate in a roundtable discussion Friday night, and then I have a lecture Saturday morning, first thing.
Well, I hope I can take it in.
Well, I hope you can, too. I'm going to talk about the Oklahoma City bombing.
The question or the information I wanted to discuss was who ordered the Grenada attack or assault?
President Reagan ordered that assault.
Now, what I want to know is why is it that Bill Clinton isn't ordering the same thing for the opposite ends of the Panama Canal? Why isn't he ordering something like that for Castro? That's all against the Monroe Doctrine, is it not?
What are you talking about with Castro? I'm sorry.
Well, Castro is a communist regime that was set up in this hemisphere. The Monroe Doctrine states that we're not to allow that. Remember,
it's very dangerous on our behalf to do anything to Castro. That's why we've left his island untouched as far as anything that we do. He has some items aimed right at a nuclear power plant at Turkey Point that we fear an attack on our side would probably cause him to do something like that in retaliation to us, and there's nothing we can do to defend against that.
Nuclear attack by Castro against us?
No, an attack against the nuclear power plant at Turkey Point. We put a nuclear power plant within the small missile range of Castro.
Why don't
Isn't
we...
that an acceptable risk?
That was... Well, it depends on the people in South Florida. I don't think that they think that they're an acceptable risk or that they're acceptable.
So we roll over and play dead for the communists because of what they might do to us?
I don't think that there's much might about Mr. Castro.
Well, hey, we've put up with him far too long. I mean, that's a moot point at this juncture. That man should have been eliminated a long time ago, big time.
Well, they tried.
Hey,
Ted,
you've got Linda, the court reporter
out
of Denver, is on and ready.
Beg your pardon?
Linda is on the air.
Oh, Linda, okay.
Okay, I'll,
thanks,
that's all
Dennis.
I wanted to know.
Yeah, Linda or Lois? Oh, Linda, Sam. Okay, Linda, I know who you're talking about. Okay, Linda, how are you doing?
Fine, I'm here.
In Denver at the Oklahoma City trial.
Yes, we're on the second day of the sentencing hearings.
Okay, give us your report.
Now, yesterday I was trying to tell you that they began the morning by having a opening argument, and the prosecution got to go first, and they were enjoying the conviction by being able to paint the picture that they had painted, and instead of saying we believe this, that, and the other, they were able to say that McVeigh did purchase the fuel. He purchased the fertilizer, he did this and that, and he...
Which they did not prove.
Well, of course, they didn't prove any of that. It was just amusing to see how the prosecution was having a good time turning their theory into fact.
Well, couldn't the defense object to that?
No, not at this stage. The conviction was done. So, in other words, you know, the jury has spoken, so that's what they said.
Okay.
So then what happened is they continued reading out of the Turner Diaries. They read us almost about 3 pages of it and said, this is the malicious intent, this proves the malicious intent that McVeigh employed, which is an element necessary for the death sentence. And I thought that was amusing, that a book, reading a book, could be used as proving a necessary element for the death penalty. Well, then the prosecution continued to describe how the bomb shattered everything in its path, and he was trying to outrage the jury again. And that brought a question to my mind, because the experts had said that the Infobomb will destroy everything by center and measuring everything and exploding everything in a equal direction. So
that's
why
right.
did the axle go down instead of flying up in the air and down from the top?
Right.
So anyway, they continued on with all of the scenario, and then they brought on their witnesses, and the witnesses were the victims. And it was very difficult. Obviously, there's nobody's heart that's not going to be affected when somebody comes in and cries about losing their husband or their son or their father. And the killer was the videotaping of a little 4-year-old boy who had physical therapy. And the physical therapy showed this little child paralyzed or partially paralyzed, which they're trying to repair, on the left side of his body. And he was just adorable. Everybody was upset, and I looked over at McVeigh to see what was happening. And he kept his back to the audience the whole time and kept his hands up to his face most of the time, and he stared at the American flag behind the judge in order to avoid eye contact with anybody or anything. But as prone to men who don't want to cry, he turned white and he got these red blotches on his cheeks. So that's how I knew he was in distress, as we all were watching this. And at the end of the day, the judge thought that the defense was going to take over, and they didn't. What happened is the United States said, no, no, we've got a whole parade more or people to get on the stand. So they are continuing today. Chuck's over at the courthouse watching more victims testify. And the defense is supposed to put on their opening arguments this afternoon, and we'll have McVeigh's family on Friday tomorrow.
Okay, excellent, Linda. Anything else you'd like to comment on?
No, I just, I'm predicting that the jury's going to be merciless in this. I saw a juror, an older woman, who everyone's commented on because she's often made eye contact with the victims in the pews. And I was speaking with the victims by mistake yesterday, and she once again looked over at the victims, and she was nodding, making eye contact with each of them and nodding. She came to me, and I just stared at her because I felt that my heart is touched over the victims, but I'm annoyed that the real killer hasn't been found. And she was extremely hostile with me because she wasn't getting the response from me that she was expecting. I just found it chilling to make eye contact with this juror who has as much venom for McVeigh as he's being accused of having for the federal government that killed the people in Waco. It just seems such a contradiction.
Okay, Linda, listen, thanks for your report, dear. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.
Be right back, folks.
Are you tired of diets and do you want something that really works? Well, a breakthrough has been made. You can now lose body fat and increase your endurance even without dieting or exercise. No, you're not dreaming. I repeat, you can now lose body fat and increase your endurance even without exercise or dieting with Pyruvate Plus. After 27 years of thorough testing with no dangerous side effects, Pyruvate Plus has been proven to burn body fat while leaving muscle tissue alone. Lowers your cholesterol and gives you increased endurance, and if you do exercise and eat sensibly, look out, results could even be better. Stop the yo-yo dieting, forget liposuction. Pyruvate Plus really does work. Call 1-800-205-6245 for safe, effective weight loss and increased endurance. That's 1-800-205-6245. Pyruvate Plus is not available in stores. Call us now, 1-800-205-6245 for the weight loss breakthrough that is sweeping the nation. Pyruvate Plus.
The Patriot Trading Group is the American Freedom Network's only choice for gold and silver. We strive to bring you truth and honesty with both talk shows and advertisers. This is why we have chosen the Patriot Trading Group as the only gold and silver dealer to appear on the American Freedom Network. I'm Don Wiedemann, president of the American Freedom Network. Give the Patriot Trading Group a call today at 1-800-951-0592 and become another satisfied customer of the Patriot Trading Group.
This is Tim Kern, and I'd like you to read a new book I helped put together. It's called The American Fight to Survive, How to Organize, Survive, and Fight for the Coming Constitutional Restoration. Gunnery Sergeant Red Smith, a Marine Corps sniper and survival trainer, has put decades of his experience into a truly informative book. Order The American Fight to Survive from the American Freedom Network, 1-800-205-6245. It's $25. You can use 85% of what's there right away, and I pray you'll never need the other 15%.
The views expressed on this show are those of the persons on the air only, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or advertisers.
Okay, and we're back, and my guest today is Gene Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA Black Ops, and the man who's telling it all. Okay, we have two callers on the line. Lois from Utah. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Ted. Such a great show. Chip, I'm calling to find out the status of your attempted debate with Ollie North. Have you been able to contact him?
No, haven't tried. I don't want to talk to him unless he wants to talk to me. You know, I shouldn't say I don't want to talk to him. All of us have our own agenda in life, and after what he's done to me, there are no words that we need to speak any longer.
Well, do you remember the proposal on the Lou Apkin show that the two of you come on Lou's show and debate whether or not he was smuggling drugs into the U.S.?
Sure, and we gave them the telephone number for Mr. North.
Oh, you gave them the number.
Right.
So it's up to them.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and I'll be happy to be there. My direct goal in life is to see Mr. North prosecuted.
Well, so are you willing to debate if he'll agree to it?
Absolutely.
Still? Okay, somebody needs to, you know, call him on the carpet for that. Speaking of Grenada, it seems like I remember that, at least for the timing of that, it was to deflect a criticism from the Marine Barracks explosion in Beirut. You remember that?
I do remember it, but
it happened like the day before, and Reagan was taking, it was horrible, you know, and he was taking a lot of criticism for having the Marines over there in the first place. So all of a sudden, he has this successful attack of Grenada.
But we were, you know, that's it's hard to say that because we were on ships for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before we even attacked, so that happened while we were.
Because you were ready for 3 days?
Right.
Which so that could imply that they, even the U.S. knew that attack was going to happen. The barracks. We know the Israelis knew it was going to happen, and they didn't do anything.
It could imply a lot of things, because 2 weeks before we were actually preparing for it, it's just a matter of them deciding when the final day was.
Right, so like they had it ready in case they needed a big event. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Lois, for calling.
Bye.
And, B, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hi, B. Can you make it real short, because we got some things we have to cover before the top of the hour.
Yes, very short. I look forward to hearing the tape that Chip has. Chip, thank you so much for everything. How is your wife doing? She's no longer involved in this. She just has 3 years probation.
They took the ankle bracelet off. She's out of the halfway house and has the ankle bracelet off. As a matter of fact, her attorney called her today and said on the 24th, the appeals court has said that they would like a brief of June. So we'll see. Yes, at this point, she's on 3 years probation. I assume that after the appeals court gets their brief filed, that'll be taken away also.
Right. Well, let us know how we can help.
Sure.
Thanks
will.
For all your day.
Thank you,
Dee. Ted, have you talked to Hoppy Heidelberg yet? Do you have his phone number?
Well, not in the last few days, but I've had him on this show in the past.
But do you know the list of witnesses? Because he can talk to you about that, so that when you give your expo talk, you can list them, because they can't speak for themselves, because they've all been suicided.
No, I haven't talked to Hoppy. Does Hoppy have that information?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I'll check that out.
And you have his phone number?
Yes, I've got it.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, B. Okay, Chip, let's go back to the tape now. What was the date that this show was aired? It was on this show, Ted Gunnison and Tell Us.
It was on this show. I'm not sure what the date was. It's in the tape, and farther forward in the tape, so I didn't write it down. But we did find that as we investigated it, we found that the broadcast from Radio Austria, which was used to jam your signal while I was on with you, the broadcast was actually broadcast 2 days prior. So someone had recorded it and in turn rebroadcast it with an adaptation over your broadcast to block our conversation over shortwave of the OSGs.
Now, that's interesting, because I've been told by the officials at WWCR, which is the Worldwide Christian Radio out of Nashville, that it's not possible to jam my broadcast.
I don't know if it's possible, but I can tell you something about HF transmissions, and the shortwave is HF. The stronger signal wins.
And they have a stronger signal than WWCR, is what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that I know that if we needed something put out, I've worked in communication facilities with the government before, that I could we could literally speak around the world, and a few seconds later, give a test count, a few seconds later, hear our voices as our voice has gone all the way around the world.
Now, this particular broadcast was on for how long at one of our shows?
It was about a 30-minute broadcast, the reporter, or the person who sent it to us, he came on the air with us, Ted, if you'll recall.
Right, I remember. And it was a 30-minute, so in other words, on 30 minutes of the show, the second hour with WWCR, we were blanked out. Would that be all over the country or in just certain areas?
No, it was, I don't know whether it was all over the country. It depends on where the transmitter that was transmitting this was. It may have just been up in the northeast that it was blanked out, and it was actually overpowered.
We were overpowered, in other words.
That's correct.
Okay, play the tape. It's a portion of the tape, that is.
The Board Air Force won, but I never did find him in the CIA this time.
You'll never be a hero. Your flying days are done. It's time for you to go home and stop sniffing the smoking gun. Right?
That's what it said.
And it's on this show. They jammed this show for 30 minutes. That was just a portion of it. And do you think that was by accident, Chip?
I think it was very premeditated.
I do ask silly questions sometimes, don't I? Well, I'll tell you what, they're wrong about many things. And one area they're wrong about is you are a hero. You're more of a hero today than you have ever been. So take heed, you folks who are monitoring this show. We care less about what you think or what you do. I'm going to continue. I know Chip will continue now on. So where do we go from here? Okay, Chip, we have about 4 more minutes after this break. Be right back, folks. Wake up, America. Wake up.
And now, here's Ted.
My guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA Black Ops. And we have a caller on the line, John from Denver. Hi, John.
Hi, gentlemen. Two quick questions. Can you put on email the words to that song, Chip?
Sure, I can have. I'll have Nancy pull it off this evening and put the words on.
Okay. Then the other thing is there a chance that you're that I know you can only go in 14 counties or something like that? Is that correct?
11. Uh huh.
11. Is Orlando one of the places you could go? Because could you go to the expo?
I could. Yes.
Well, that's
why don't you,
great.
Speak there. And I'm sure, Ted, you're going to be there, right?
I'll be there. Chip, I will call Dan Chidock in Utah and arrange for you to be there if you're interested.
I'd like to go, Ted.
Oh, that's great.
When is that? I'm sorry.
It's the 13th. Starts the 13th, 14th, and 15th. I'm going to be there the night of the 13th roundtable discussion in Oklahoma City, and then I have a lecture that morning, the first thing in the morning on the 14th.
Well, I'm about 45 minutes from there.
Oh, well, fantastic.
I think okay. It would be great, Chip, if you could speak out in public like that. God bless you, man.
Yeah, great. Thanks for calling, John. Okay, Chip, give out your address and your email again for those folks who did not get it earlier in the show.
Book order line, folks, is 1-800-201-7892. 800-201-7892. If you'd like to talk to me or discuss anything that you've heard, you can get a hold of me through 352-330-1652. That's 352-330-1652. Our website is https://members.aol.com/ChipTatum. That's spelled C-H-I-P-T-A-T-U-M, and it's all lowercase. members.aol.com/ChipTatum. That's the Black Ops Reporter website, and I think you'll find some very interesting information there.
Hey, Ted, you got a Canadian caller, Cheryl.
Cheryl, okay, Cheryl, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Ted. Quick question here.
Sure.
Regarding the Oklahoma City bombing trial, I read the transcript that was on the Internet of the closing arguments. What do you really think of the defense job? I personally, from reading Stephen Jones' comments, I just thought he was grandstanding a bit, and I didn't have a lot of confidence in his remarks or how he was presenting the whole thing.
Cheryl, I will give you my honest opinion. I think that the whole matter has been fixed right from the beginning, and as far as Stephen Jones is concerned, I said this on the show before, when I heard they were going to tear the building down overnight, I did everything I could to keep it up. John DeCamp contacted him, and with the thought in mind of having a hearing to keep the building up, Stephen Jones told John DeCamp, back off, I'll take care of the hearing. There never was a hearing. Okay?
So it's phony.
That's what I think.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think that this report will go along those lines too, Ted, that I'm getting ready to release.
And, Chip, what I'd like to have you do is appear on, I have to give a speech, a lecture on the morning of the 14th. Why don't you just come up there and we'll lecture together.
Okay, Ted.
So you'll have the information about the bombing by that time. It'll be released this coming week. Okay, folks. My phone number is 702-650-5676. Call, get your flyer, find out about my research also. Make copies, educate, get it out to your friends. Also, don't forget to send me some money for this letter that I'm sending out to the former FBI agents around the country, 7,000 plus. I need your support on this badly. We have over $1,700. We have to raise about $4,000. For those of you who cannot afford an attorney, call 702-650-5676. We'll put you into a self-taught course, Irwin Rummel School of Law. And you'll be able to represent yourself. See you tomorrow, folks. Thanks a lot, Chip. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report with former FBI Chief Ted L. Gunderson. Our address is the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report, P.O. Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, zip 89114.
The American Freedom Network can now be heard at a computer near you. Check it out, www.amerifreeze.com,
www.24. And now, here's Janet.
And good morning to all you beautiful people out there across this great land of ours, the United States of America. Welcome to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. We have back with us Chip Tatum for another series, the second in a series of interviews concerning CIA operations. And before I get into Chip, let me remind you, I'm doing this on every hour, on the hour, until June the 9th. Let me remind you of the American Heritage River Initiative. The purpose of this initiative, for Mr. Clinton, is to designate 10 chosen rivers by the fall of 1997, 10 more later, following years, and so on and so forth. Now, there's a waiting period for our comments. That waiting period deadline is June the 9th. So we have until now to June the 9th to complain about this situation. It's a takeover of another takeover of our land. Now, what I want you to do, I've gone through this in details in the last couple of days, but I'm going to kind of brief it right now. Write to request written information and an extension of the comment period. The comment period is up until June the 9th, as I said. To the Executive Office of the President, Kathleen McGinty, Kathleen McGinty, Council on Environmental Quality, Washington, D.C., 20503, and at the same time, phone Karen Hobbs, H-O-B-B-S, 202-395-5750, you'll take your request, or fax Kathleen McGinty, 202-456-2710. All right, back, email your state congressman and your senators. Request them to seek an extension of the comment period for the Federal Registry notice. Request them for their interpretation and position on the American Heritage, American Rivers Heritage Initiative. Keep calling, writing, faxing, and emailing until something is done to stop this initiative. It's just another candy-coated carrot of a land grab, folks. Okay. Welcome back, Chip Tatum. Chip, how are you today?
Doing good, Ted. Thank you.
Good. And, folks, now, Chip Tatum, for those of you who've never heard this show before, is a Vietnam Special Forces Air Combat Controller, 25-year CIA deep cover agent, U.S. Army pilot flying classified missions during the U.S. invasion of Grenada, Iran-Contra pilot flying cocaine shipments labeled as medical supplies, member of the ultra-secret international G7-run Pegasus HIP team, and from sensitive, highly secretive, Special Forces covert operations in Cambodia to wandering CIA assets through to black ops activities in Grenada and Ali North, Iran-Contra Enterprise, as well as membership in an international hit team. Gene Chip Tatum has seen it all, done it all, and is now telling it all. Chip, we missed you yesterday. We had the Indian chief from one of the nations out west on the show, but we're back, and I'd like to start out today, and I'd like to spend as much detail as I can on the Prime Minister of Sweden's murder, assassination. Can you tell us what you know about that? What year was that, first of all?
Pardon me?
What year was that?
I believe it was 1986, around January of 86. You're taxing my brain because it was before I was recruited into the OSG. However, during a meeting, some of what happened was relayed to me. I understand that we used a South African asset by the name of Williamson. He owed some favors to us. He then took the bull by the horns, more or less, and saw to it that Olof Palme was assassinated. The details around that were very simple. Ali North approached Palme, Sweden. There was a large arms manufacturer involved in it. The name escapes me, though. I'm not sure what the manufacturer's name was. I would probably know it if I heard it. Ali North, on behalf of the manufacturer and on behalf of his enterprise plan, needed end-user certificates. They decided that Sweden, because of this arms manufacturer, would be a perfect arena to run the end-user certificates, provide them to the different entities that their arms dealing, arms he did lay the whole plan out for me, and if had he done, had North done his homework, he would have found out that Palme would not stand for this type of corruption, not for his country and not on an international basis. He didn't do his homework, charged ahead with his head down like a bull, and Palme turned him down. All the cards were on the table. I understand the Prime Minister threatened to go to the world courts, and within weeks, he wasn't with us any longer.
Well, now, when you say end user certificates and he laid out all the plans, can you give us details on that?
I know on the weapons side, I wasn't that involved in weapons, but I know that certain weapons need end user certificates, in other words, to be sold by these defense arenas and by arms dealers. They have a paperwork trail that they have to have, and with that paperwork trail, anytime a weapon is picked up on the battlefield, there's a registration number on that weapon. And that can be traced to people who last registered that weapon, just like if you go down to a Ace Hardware store and buy a shotgun. That end-user certificate, what you're filing, can be traced to you. On a broader basis, we have something along those lines with our higher-class weapons.
Now, so when you talk about weapons and end-user certificate, Ollie North went in, saw me, and wanted him personally set up an operation in Sweden to provide an end-user certificate. I mean, to provide an end-user. In so doing, would that have meant that any weapons could have been shipped into Sweden or through Sweden and drop-shipped elsewhere?
They probably never would have been in the country itself. However, those weapons would be registered as an end-user for the Swedish
government. Okay, be right back. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report. Wake up, America, wake up!
Talking about the reality of impeachment of the U.S. Senate. I believe it would likely fail in the Senate, not for lack of evidence, because many members of the U.S. Senate are politically compromised. You cannot depend on them to do the work they've been charged to do. From 4 to 5, Eric Cederstrom of Patriot Training Group will be on again. Tune in and thank you for listening.
Tired of your shortwave radio acting up or breaking down? You need a Sangean shortwave radio. The Sangean line of shortwave is simply the best, and the American Freedom Network has them. For a basic, full-frequency shortwave, try an ABS-808 for $119.99 plus shipping. For a shortwave with sideband adjustment for listening to ham radio, choose the ATS-818 for $159.99 plus shipping, or the ATS-818CS that has a timed tape recorder for $199.99 plus shipping. But if you want the best radio out there, we offer the Sangean ATS-909. This state-of-the-art radio has AM, FM, longwave, the full shortwave spectrum, as well as digital sideband adjustment using the highest quality components. Along with other features, the 909 is a great value for only $274.99 plus shipping. So order yours today at 1-800-205-6245. That's the Sangean line of shortwave radio is available at the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245.
Wear with pride and make a statement. It's your Freedom Let It Ring t-shirt, and it's absolutely free.
Free.
That's right, free.
Free.
By joining the American Freedom Network today for $33, get the next 12 exciting issues of the American Freedom Magazine and your free t-shirt.
Free.
Renew your subscription, extend it, or join today for your Freedom Let It Ring t-shirt. That's $33 to join today. Send check or money orders to P.O. Box 430, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Back, and my guest today is Gene Chip, today 25-year CIA chief cyber agent. Going back to Sweden and Mr. Palme, the Prime Minister of Sweden. So what you're saying is what they wanted to set up a phony operation whereby if the weapons were traced, they would be traced back to Sweden. Is that what the end user means?
That's what the end user means, and the problem is it's not a phony corporation or not a phony entity. An end user certificate through a country, is that country is liable for the use of those weapons. That's why Palme, you know, not knowing where in the world this United States Marine, this guy from the United States, was proposing to send all this stuff, didn't want he or his country involved.
And was Ollie North at that time an officer in the Marines?
I'm not sure whether he was a major lieutenant colonel. I believe he was a lieutenant colonel at that particular time.
And so this had to do with the Iran-Contra?
It was 1986, yes.
So it had to do with Iran-Contra. Then, can we assume that Ollie North maybe went around to other countries and did the same thing?
You can absolutely assume that, because the end-user certificates had to be through particular countries. I know we used Chile as one, Argentina, China. We used several countries around the world providing end-user certificates. I know China supplied several missiles, I think SA-7, to Ollie to be sent into Nicaragua to the Contras. However, those missiles never made it to the Contras.
What does that mean?
It means that there was over 100 ground-to-air missiles, shoulder-held, that are missing today.
So, it could be in civilian hands or it could be in terrorist hands?
It could be in whoever's hands Mr. North decided to sell them to and put the money in his pocket. That's what I think.
Very interesting. Why haven't we indicted Ollie North? That's a silly question. Forget it. I know the answer to that one without even asking it. Excuse me, folks. Is there anything more that we can say about Mr. Palmy? How about the Swedish people? Are they aware of this?
I have no idea. I would think they would be aware of this. There's been people out there saying, hey, look at the Bush administration, look at Ollie North, look at what he was trying to do, and all of a sudden, Bofors, that's the name of the company, I believe. Look at Bofors, arms company. What's going on here? Is this why your prime minister was killed? I have no idea, but if I were the Swedes, I'd be raising some heck.
Now, Bofors arm, where are they located?
I don't know.
But they are an arms
European
company.
Arms company.
Arms company, huh? Well, this is a terrible thing. What about the murder of the waiter in Norway? That was kind of an interesting incident also, wasn't it?
Well, that was simply a mistake.
My
Ferrari Mossad officer, codenamed Cobra, pulled the trigger on the wrong guy. He was reprimanded for it, subsequently ended up retiring and going to Panama to work for General Noriega.
If you want to start in the beginning of that little incident and tell us what happened there.
I don't know a lot about it. I heard from other intelligence sources, other Mossad friends, that he really messed up.
Yeah, why were they after him? What mistaken identity? Who do they think he was?
I don't know. I don't know who his target was. All I know is that when he pulled the trigger on an innocent waiter, killed him by mistake. It could be that the target was sitting behind the waiter or anything. Who knows? He just hit the wrong person when he fired.
And do you know the reason he was supposed to have killed somebody other than the waiter?
I never asked that. Unless it's volunteered to me and unless it's something I need to know, I learned a long time ago, you just don't get into it.
And that's another reason you're alive, of course.
You have to watch your P's and Q's in the business and understand etiquette.
Right, right. And I guess, are the Norwegians, do you know if the Norwegian people are aware of the mistake that was made there or if they're aware of the situation?
I believe so. I believe that's pretty popular knowledge. I don't read a lot, and I don't read a lot because I don't like to contaminate myself with what's been written in the media. So,
well, you sure can do that. I'll tell you right now. I noticed in watching ABC News last night, Peter Jennings. I never saw so much propaganda in my life. Just plain disinformation. Unbelievable. In fact, he talked about how the Gulf War syndrome. It was not a problem that had nothing to do with our boys being ill, and there's no indication that the children of the boys who came back from the Gulf War are any sicker than the children of people who did not go to the Gulf War.
You know, and I think one point we need to bring out here is there needs to be a news network to keep after the news network, someone who's out there saying this is why the news isn't being fed, and someone bringing actual news and talking about and evaluating the quality of the news that is brought to us. There are so many people out there today who are tired of listening to these major media sources who are owned by, a dozen corporations in total. They're tired of hearing it. And instead of saying newscaster, Peter Jennings, they need to say the Canadian newscaster, Peter Jennings. He's not an American.
Chip, he mentioned the Bofors company. Wasn't that the company... that was involved and also partly responsible for the Soviets obtaining the submarines that make no noise, that are totally silent, you can't detect them?
I don't know, Ted. I don't know what their forte is.
Yeah, I
recall
I think
the name. You know how sometimes your brain just dies up, you know, operational head error, you know.
Well, the story I recall was there was a Norwegian company combined with Toshiba. Time for a quick break, folks. You're right back. Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. Wake up, America.
For the Patriot Trading Group. Are you paying huge commissions to pay for your gold and silver brokers and Mercedes Benz? Are you getting lightning fast delivery and fair prices? Then call Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592. The Patriot Trading Group offers all forms of gold and silver, shipped and delivered in the utmost privacy at the most competitive prices in the country. Nobody does it better. Call 1-800-951-0592. We'll be happy to quote your prices or send you out a free brochure, no questions asked. It's a no-brainer. We also offer full-service, penalty-free gold and silver IRA conversion. Believe me, it pays to compare. Why pay more? Here at the Patriot Trading Group, we'll treat you like we'd like to be treated ourselves. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor at the Patriot Trading Group. Call 1-800-951-0592. That's the Patriot Trading Group, 1-800-951-0592.
The American Freedom Network is proud to present a new program, the Jack McClam Hour. Hosted by former Arizona police officer Jack McClam. If you miss this program, you will be missing out. Starting at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, the Jack McClam Hour, only on the American Freedom Network. That's Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, the Jack McClam Hour. Don't miss it, or you'll miss out.
If you're looking for the perfect gift for your fisherman, hunter, or backpacker, the Canadine Pocket Filter, Combo Filter, or Mini Filter are the most reliable water filters for removing bacteria, such as Giardia and Cryptosporidium, commonly found in most streams and rivers. These Canadine filters are available through the American Freedom Network. Subscribe to the American Freedom Magazine and receive all the information on Canadine or any of the other quality products. Call for more information at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Knowledge is power. To order a cassette copy of this program, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
And now, here's Ted. And we're back. My guest today, again, is Chip James, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, let's go back just very briefly to Olof Palme's assassination. Did you say you learned about this in a meeting, a subsequent meeting, from the date of the assassination?
Right. I joined operational subgroups in about April of 1986, and this particular assassination happened in January of 1986. So North's meeting had to be with him, should have been somewhere prior to then. It would be interesting to investigate that to see whether there was a meeting.
And but how did you learn about it?
In an OSD meeting. When I was briefed, I went to Washington, where I was in briefed. Given my security codes and moved on to my assignment, and while I was there, I heard about it.
Well, you mean heard about it in over a cup of coffee, or did they officially told you that?
No, over a cup of coffee. It's not going to be an official statement from them.
Right, with you guys. Now, OSG again means?
Operational Subgroup.
And that's an elite group of individuals who are involved in some very sensitive operations. Right?
A lot of people refer to it as the President's Intelligence Agency, you know, his own little personal. And
right.
That's what the vice president had for himself.
That little toy that he had there.
More than a toy, a very dangerous toy.
Yes, obviously. You know, I'll tell you what I recall now is the Toshiba company and the Kongsberg company of Norway, Toshiba of Japan and Kongsberg of Norway, and they had a computer that drove the lathe, and they sold it to the Soviets without apparently the knowledge of the U.S. and others, and allowed the Soviets to make a silent submarine. And the Norwegian government, when they found out about this, they came in and closed down the Kongsberg company. Do you recall anything about that?
No, I don't, Ted.
And I was told this may have had something to do with Olof Palme's death, but I don't know. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. What about some of these other matters? You say you don't know anything more about the assassination of the waiter in Norway. What about McVeigh and Oklahoma City? Do you have any knowledge of that? What's your take on that, Jeff?
Well, I believe that there's no doubt that McVeigh, there was involvement, complicity by McVeigh of some sort. I don't think that there's anyone in America that doubts that. I do believe, however, that his partners were more involved than he was.
Do you think there's more than one partner?
I have reason to believe that there are more than one partner, yes.
Do you have reason, or do you have any information intelligence-wise?
I have an intelligence report that tells me that, and I have done personal investigation and have statements by other entities that I have personally verified their veracity. You know?
And you say you're going to release that when?
June 7th.
Well, what's that, Saturday?
June
the 7th, that's this Saturday.
The person providing the information wanted to be safely back underground before I released it, so that's what I'm waiting on.
Well, once we have you back on the show, then I'm going to have to change it around and have you back on the show on the first part of next week, then, I guess, huh?
I'll be available.
You will be available, okay. We'll bring you right back on the show. Chip, again, why don't you repeat your name, address? People don't need your name, but your address, where people can obtain the documentation. I've been challenged as to your credibility. Not challenge, but that, you know, how do we know this man has credibility? And I told him all you have to do is read this Nexus article, which was April of May 1997. And tell them how they can get a hold of your records and your reports and so forth.
A copy of our documents are available at 1-800-201-7892, 800-201-7892, extension 58. That's the Tatum Chronicles. The Tatum Chronicles are DOD flight plans, government forms, which were obtained from a foreign government, which we had filed as special operations officers in 1985. As far as my credibility, even the federal courts and the U.S. Department of Justice doesn't dispute who I am. They're the ones that came forward at the beginning of my trial. Filed the Classified Information Procedures Act notification stating that I would never be able to use any of my information on the stand. They're the ones that initiated that, not me.
Okay. And your reports show what? The flight plans on the back.
The flight plans and so forth show who was flying in the aircraft with us, what our cargoes were, and where they were obtained, and what the actual events going on in these contra camps consisted of.
Okay, be right back, folks. Time for a quick break. That Gunnison Intelligence Report, no question about it. Wake up, America, wake up. Gene Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA Deep Cover Agent. By the way, folks, all of you folks there in Las Vegas, and this is Gene Hearn on KKVD in Las Vegas, need to remember that on June the 14th and 15th, the Erwin Rommel School of Law will hold a seminar, tell you how, and give you experience if you want to take the course to sue or defend yourself. You can avoid an attorney. They have videos, but they have books, but they have all kinds of basic material and research data that will help you in your personal lawsuit. I know many of us cannot afford to hire lawyers. I mean, you know, when you're paying $150 to $250 an hour for somebody's services, it's just beyond comprehension as to the average person being able to afford it. So you can take your own law course here. You can learn how to handle yourself in the courtroom. These people also help you in preparing your paper. The Erwin Rommel School of Law, 23 years experience, will teach you how to sue or defend. A seminar in Las Vegas, 14th and 15th. Call 702-650-5676. By the way, Chip, we would like to have you on the show this coming Wednesday, the 11th, and we can talk about McVeigh at that time.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, so you folks put it on your calendar. And we'll have Chip to go back tomorrow and again next Wednesday. Chip, does the name Zen Air mean anything to you?
Zen Air, Zenith?
Yes.
It's quite a bit. It's a pretty large outfit nationwide. And its connections to covert operations and black operations are yet to be determined, but I believe in the very near future some good investigators are out there are about to break something on it.
Okay, and are you having anything to do with that?
I passed the name on for some people to look into. I'm not in a position at this time to leave the area that I'm currently living in because of the feds, and they're doing that.
Okay, Gina Sarah involved in Mena, Arkansas?
I don't know if they're involved in MENA, Arkansas. They're in the area. They definitely have aircraft in Arkansas, in Mexico, Missouri. Around the country, they have aircraft that are configured in particular configurations, which would make them suspect for small cargo aircraft with long-range capabilities.
You talk about a CIA deep cover operation?
That's correct.
Yeah, how about, are they tied to...
Or other deep cover operations, not necessarily CIA.
What would other be?
It could be any of the international groups who are operating in the United States.
Could be the British, it could be MI6, right?
Could be the OSG.
OSGs, it could be Turkey, it could be Argentina, any of them.
But any of them, and believe me, folks, we have a lot of them operating here.
The Saad. And but they're operating in conjunction with and in cooperation with CIA, aren't they?
And large corporations in the United States, yes.
And a large corporation. Can you name some of the corporations?
Well, I think it would be pretty safe to mention the name DuPont. As some of the financial backers for a lot of what's being done by black operations. Then naturally we have large families who are involved. Another family involved in the Xerox Corporation is the Wilson family.
And Rockefeller, of course, their name always top of the list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And any other families or companies you'd like to mention?
I think that should do it for here. You know, there are foreign families and companies, but let's stick with the home front, folks.
Okay.
That's what we need to be concerned with.
Yeah. And, of course, we talked about Henry Hyde before, who was the congressman from Illinois, is the congressman from Illinois who handles the black ops money computers and track of all the expenses and so forth, right?
And that being done through his banking interest, that's correct.
His banking interest in Chicago?
Around the U.S.
Around the U.S. Henry Hyde, congressman, Chicago, Illinois. By the way, I sent the series of the last tapes to Mr. former congressman, Bill Denemeyer in California, Fullerton, California, who in a speech or lecture last summer described his best friend as Henry Hyde, and I let Bill Denemeyer know about that. So, we are making some progress here. By the way, I made a mistake on one of the tapes. I was listening to the tape. I'm recording these tapes now, folks, myself, and I mentioned Henry Wade instead of Henry Hyde. Henry Wade is a former district attorney in Dallas, Texas, a good friend of mine. He was not involved, has not been involved, to my knowledge, in any of these black ops operations. I made a mistake. If you pick it up on the tape, it's Henry Hyde, not Henry Wade. How about the Gambino family and the Mafia? And Jim Thompson, former governor of Illinois, activity in the Chicago area, Lansing, Illinois, small airport outside of Chicago, et cetera. Anything on that?
No, I don't. I'm very aware of the use of FBI officials up in the Des Moines area and on over into the Montana area, North Dakota area, in corrupting public officials. Into allowing particular racketeering activities to go on, which not include murder and include drug trafficking. So that's very prevalent up there, and it's a big problem, and I think it's being discussed in the Montana Senate as we speak today.
How about Nebraska? Are you familiar with the Franklin cover-up case in Nebraska?
I'm not, Ted. I've heard little spatterings of it here and there, but I'm really not that familiar with it up there.
Yes, well, because out of the Nebraska case, we had the kidnapping of the young 12-year-old newspaper boy in Des Moines, Johnny Goss. And I know that there was conversation with the FBI in Des Moines, Iowa, about the Johnny Goss kidnapping. And there's some concern about the fact that they have refused, the FBI in Des Moines, Iowa, refused to properly investigate that matter. Not surprised me, and that's when you mentioned Des Moines, Iowa, it's kind of a red flag up as far as I'm concerned.
Well, there's direct involvement with officials in Des Moines, FBI officials in Des Moines, with a man in South Florida who is a senior FBI official and was a former member of the South Florida Drug Task Force and maybe currently a member of it. His name is Terry Nelson, and there's some direct implications there, and I think there needs to be concern on the people's part up there that they'll get an honest rendering for their money from the officials. With the FBI in that area.
Well, can you name names in Des Moines?
I can't. Not at this point, no.
You know, there's a U.S. senator that's been very critical of the Bureau recently, and in fact, Director Free was on stand yesterday for one of the congressional committees, and he was very adamant about the FBI involved in corruption, cover-up, and so forth.
You know, and if an arms dealer, one of the Class 1 arms dealer, automatic weapons, had a vehicle filled with the type of weapons that these FBI agents had, I guess in Memphis, in their SWAT vehicle, and allowed those to be taken, they would be up in front, practically in front of a firing squad with the ATF, allowing that to happen. Free stands up and says, we're looking into making some changes in our policy. Come on.
We better hurry, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, be right back, folks. That Jonathan Intelligence Report. No question about it. Wake up, America. And we're back, and my guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA operative, black cop. Chip, that congressman, it's not a congressman, Senator Charles Grassley from Iowa, Republican Iowa. Are you familiar with him and his criticism of the FBI?
No, I'm not, Ted.
Yeah. Well, I think he'd be upset about the possibility that the sequence of the war in Iowa was tied into, was it Terry Nelson, say?
Uh-huh. Good, investigate him. That's all I'm asking. Listen, people, investigate these people. Don't let them go unchecked and do the things that they're doing.
Can you give us any more details about the corrupt operation of the FBI in Des Moines, Iowa?
Only that they're some of the collateral investigations, the fringe investigations being done, involve some FBI agents out of Des Moines. The investigations now these are investigations by the FBI of things going on over across and into Montana and North Dakota. And these FBI agents are involved in those investigations and possibly are part of a cover-up.
You mean the current FBI agents in Des Moines, Iowa, are actually investigating themselves?
No, they're investigating we're investigating events in the Montana and North Dakota area of operations on some possible border infringements with trafficking.
And Terry Nelson's being implicated there, and they're covering it up, is that what you're saying?
Not only covering it up, they may be the people that Terry uses to interface with their people in Montana and North Dakota, and that's why no investigation will ever go anywhere.
More cover-up. You know, I have been actively involved with John DeCamp in the Nebraska case, and developed information, of course, that they were kidnapping children in Des Moines, also up in Sioux City, Iowa, and around the Midwest, and Paul Benassi, one of the kids that came forward and volunteered to furnish information, has told us, and I've said this on our show before, and I think you were there when I told you, when I mentioned that we use the decoy public places in order to attract kids over, and then the adults would grab the car, but not jump on top of them. And he was 10, 11, 12 years old. And I've written a letter to the FBI, I've written a letter to the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, mentioned in one of our previous conversations, and also to the governor of the state of Nebraska and the Attorney General of the state of Nebraska. And I've said, hey, don't take my word for it. Just come on over and talk to me, and I'll give you my sources. You know, they wrote back that, well, your sources aren't credible, although they don't know who my sources are. And number two, another letter I received out of the four, only two, by the way, that I received out of the four letters I wrote, your information is not documented. And it's immediately documented, and I have been ignored. This is years ago. I say years ago, back in 93, 94 at the latest. And this had to do with the Johnny Gotch case in Iowa.
Well, you understand the plausible deniability there, Ted. You know, if they don't talk to you, if they don't get that information, they don't have to act upon it.
Well, of course I do. And, you know, on the Oklahoma City bombing, I contacted the FBI and Senator R. Inspector Committee because I have 150-page report. By the way, that is available, folks, if you want to send $20 to the Ted Gunn's report office, about 18,059 Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. I have 150-page report. Which I didn't make the 150 pages available to the FBI, but at the initial stage of the investigation, and right after the bombing, I had information that was very significant and very important, a very matter of extreme importance to the investigation. Contacted the FBI, and I've never heard from them since then. They won't come interview me. What they're afraid I'll do is put a tape recorder on the desk and start talking about the kidnapping cases, which they have jurisdiction over, and other matters which they are totally ignoring. By the way, the FBI has planted people on me, Jeff, and tried to disrupt my operation when I ran for the presidency in the primaries against Clinton the last time in Hampton, Texas. They planted a man in my office. And then when I came back from the primaries and ran for U.S. Congress in Las Vegas, they planted a man in my office. And I'm talking right now to the FBI in Las Vegas. I wrote a letter to the U.S. attorney, January 20th, I think it was, because this particular person, his name is Jim Cloburg, opened up a separate bank account, took my reports that I was selling in order to raise funds to run for the campaign, sold them, and asked people, sent a flyer out, and asked people to send the money in to him in the name of not Ted Gunderson, but some other constitutional organization. He opened a separate bank account and put that, that money in the bank account. I wrote a letter to the U.S. attorney in January. I still haven't received any information about an investigation. Here it is 4 months later. Last week, I wrote a letter to the U.S. attorney there in Las Vegas also again, and I said, what's happened here? And they referred it to the FBI, of course, and the FBI has not come and talked to me yet, 4 months later. We would never let a case of that magnitude or nature slide for 4 months. So there you have. You have a problem there in Las Vegas. Well, based on my intelligence information, they planted this guy, Cloburg, right in the middle of my campaign. He's an FBI plant. That's why they're not investigating. The tune goes on and on and on, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, they're the whole horticulturist extraordinaire of the world. They love to plant things.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Chip, is there anything more about that you can mention that you haven't mentioned before about CIA assassination, some of their various illegal activity of the Pegasus group?
Well, I know, you know, having been new with the OSGs and Pegasus groups, I didn't understand how powerful they really were until there was a young man, his name was Al Jarrah. He was being held in an Italian prison. He was to be deported from that Italian prison and turned over to authorities to provide testimony of some of the things that he was aware of, which included the drugs for guns exchanges and so forth going on in Europe, also involving Mr. Norton and others. However, I found out how powerful we were and how powerful the drugs that we had, I found out that there was no bounds. There was nothing that limited us in the OSG. And this 25-year-old man suddenly, after dosing with one of the poisons, died of a heart attack. And was diagnosed as a heart attack.
Yes, and you know, one thing, Chip, that we need to emphasize to our fellow brothers who were in the FBI, CIA, and so forth, is that when there's threat of you, when they don't need your services anymore, your future is very doubtful as to what's going to happen. Be right back, folks. Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. Wake up, America. And we are back, and my guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA veteran, Black Ops. Chip, we're going into, we're closing down the first hour, going into the second hour. We might as well dedicate this first hour to the FBI, and in so doing, let's top it off with talking about by talking about Buck Revell. You know who Buck Revell is, of course. Buck Revell was one of the top executives in the Bureau. As a matter of fact, he was bank robbery supervisor when I was the number two man in the Philadelphia office. And he was liaison with Ollie North, right?
That's what I understand, yes. I never met Buck. I don't know much about him other than I do understand that was his position. He was the direct liaison to Ollie.
Now, as in a liaison capacity, don't you think that he would have been knowledgeable about what was going on around the world by Mr. Ollie North and his drug operation and arms operation?
Well, Mr. North wasn't the most secretive man in the world, and I'm sure if he had Buck in his confidence, he would have shared quite a bit of it. At that point, with those illegal activities, it was up to Mr. Revell under, let me see, U.S. Federal Criminal Code Title 18, Section 4, misprison of a felony, to bring those to local law enforcement. Or to a federal judge, or to someone.
Right, right. But you have no knowledge personally about Buck Revell's possible involvement in these activities?
I don't, Ted.
How about over a cup of coffee with your friends? Anything there?
I could have coffee with friends and bring you plenty, I'm sure.
Why don't you do a little checking on that?
I'll do that for you.
Yeah, I'd like to find out more about Buck. Buck's basically a nice guy. I've always enjoyed being around him. He's a very genial person. And I considered him a friend. And when I heard he was liaison with Ollie North, I became a little upset about that.
But you have to understand, too, Ted, that being involved with Mr. North means that effectively you probably have been neutralized in some way. And it's very difficult for certain people to be able to go forward and come forward and say what they need to say for fear of harm to them or their families. Unless he has a good insurance policy protecting them, he needs to just sit where he is.
Well, okay, so be it with Mr. Revell. Any other comments or any other statements you'd like to make about the FBI? This is the FBI hour, folks. By the way, I'd like to comment, folks. I'm writing a letter to the former FBI agents, ex-FBI agents around the country, over 7,000. I need your help, your donations. It's going to cost me about $4,000 to get these letters done. I'm trying to enlighten them, to awake them as to what's going on in America. Many of these men are outstanding investigators, outstanding persons. I was in the Bureau 21 years under J. Edgar Hoover. These are J. Edgar Hoover men, for the most part, these 7,000 individuals. And if I need your help, send me a donation, if you will, to Ted Gunderson Post Office Box, 18,000 Day, 259 Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. Donation in the lower left-hand corner, put FBI Project. By the way, we have over $1,700 now toward our $4,000 goal. $1,700, we're going to send the first batch of letters out probably in the next couple of weeks. So we are making some extra progress. I think it's a good idea, don't you, Chip?
I think it's a great idea, and I think that you folks out there would do well to help support Ted in this. It's not the old hats, the old folks in charge who are the problem here. I think that they're very, very concerned about what goes on, and with the proper communications, they would feel comfortable with coming forward.
Well, we never, never had not one corruption the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover. Not one. We didn't have people spying for Russia. We didn't have these laboratory problems. We had the finest laboratory in the world at one time, I'm convinced. So anyway, folks, we'll see you in the second hour. Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. Stick around, folks.
You've been listening to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report with former FBI Chief Ted L. Gunderson. Our address is the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report, P.O. Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, zip 89114.
Where does money come from? Where does it go?
Who makes it?
The Money Magician's secrets are unveiled in The Creature from Jekyll Island. In this compelling book by G. Edward Griffin, you get a close look at the smoke and mirrors that create the illusion called money. It's all here, the cause of war, inflation, depression, and prosperity. Your worldview will definitely change. Putting it simply, this may be the most important book on world affairs you'll ever read. For your copy from the American Freedom Network for only $24 postage paid, the 1-800-205-6245.
You can now order both Naked Into the Wilderness and Naked Into the Wilderness Part 2 for only $39.95. If you just own one of these great books on survival skills, order both and give one as a gift for only $39.95 for both Naked Into the Wilderness and Naked Into the Wilderness Part 2. This is a great deal for anyone who is missing out on these two essential books. To order, just call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Hey, we like it when liberals call in.
We are KHNC 1360 Johnstown
and KPNC 1370 Year 12.
To the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report with former FBI Chief Ted L. Gunderson.